The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. In the Liturgy of the Hours of the Catholic Church, you will find once every 4 weeks in Monday morning's prayer the following reading from the Apostle Paul. He tells us in 2 Thessalonians that anyone who would not work should not eat. We hear that some of you are unruly, not keeping busy, but acting like busybodies. We enjoin all such. We urge them strongly in the Lord Jesus Christ to earn the food they eat by working quietly. You must never grow weary of doing what is right, brothers. Paul is not saying don't feed those who are unable to work. He's saying to all of us who are able to work that we are to contribute to God's world with all the strength and abilities we possess, which have been given to us by God for that purpose. We are not to be found sitting back, ignoring the work that is needed to be done, forcing others to do work harder to make up for our unwillingness to contribute our share. A simple example would be like this. Suppose you're in a boat with several other people and a storm comes up. The boat starts to take on water and begins to sink. The crew who work on the boat quickly man the pumps and form a bucket brigade trying to keep the boat afloat. This is all done while the passengers who were not part of the crew stand by and watch the crew work with all their strength to save the ship and its passengers. When it becomes obvious that the crew cannot keep up with the water that is coming in, the passengers are going to have to make a choice, whether to jump in and help for the good of all or just sit back and let the ship sink, taking everyone on board with it. This fits well with what Jesus is telling us in today's gospel. Today we hear from the people who are following Jesus across the sea, who are the same people who had just witnessed the miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish. They must all have been aware of the miracle which had been used to feed the thousands. They are now asking Jesus for another miracle to prove to them that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus knew in reality what they were looking for was more free fish and bread. In today's first reading from the Old Testament, we have the Israelites who were complaining they had nothing to eat. This is when God feeds them the bread and the quail, morning and night, for the next 40 years, a free gift from God, which is a miracle that came down from heaven and was not a gift from Moses. It was God who gave food to the Israelites, and it was not earned. This food was used to sustain and nourish God's people on earth in a time of need. In the same way the Israelites were fed in their time of need, God always gives us what we need and to meet the bodily and spiritual needs to prepare us for the life to come with God in heaven. In today's gospel, Jesus is trying to make the people understand that there is something much greater and far more important than nourishment for the physical body. Jesus, in their presence, was the living bread that had come down from heaven to feed all people, more important spiritual needs for all time. This new food that Jesus gives is always available, and when consumed, leads us to eternal life. The food Paul is talking about is for the physical body, where our spirit dwells. All that I have said up to this point in the homily is to try to help all of us, young and old, to understand what God expects from us in return for the bread from heaven. None of us at any age should stop trying to do God's work in this world. Children, from the very beginning, need to learn to contribute to the family. Families and individuals need to work in the greater community, God's world, and as we enter into the later years and up until we leave this world, we are still expected to work in God's world to assure there's enough for all. We are given two choices for life. One is to find a mate and marry and help God procreate to multiply and fill the world, or remain single and celibate for those who choose that vocation. This is the basis for the life that is expected of us by God. In this life, married or single, we are to work to produce for the needs of all in proportion to what we have received, whether we have been given much or have very little. Our children must learn these rules from the earliest time they are able to understand them. As productive adults, we need to meet the needs of our own families and then share with families that for any reason may not be able to meet their family's needs. As empty nesters, we are not dead yet and still have time and talent to share. Life is that simple. We should never be found waiting for a loveless, uncaring government to feed us and pay our bills. The government only borrows money, or it just takes it. They don't produce money. In reality, the government produces nothing and is a constant drain on God's children who are out there trying to do what God requires in his world. In reality, the government's sole purpose is to protect the people who it governs. So what should Christian people be doing to work with God, executing his plan for the world? First, we must learn what God wants and what he has told us about what we can and cannot do in this world. God never said, "It is your life, so you can do whatever you want with no consequences." Those of us who just do as we please are not going to fare well in the final judgment. God has not made secret rules that are hard to understand. These rules are not options open for interpretations. They're very clear and easy to understand. You may say that you are already living God's rules, and you are being generous with all that God has given you. As Jesus told the rich young man who tried to justify himself, "There's just one more thing you must do. There is always more we can do." Consider this. Only about 47% of registered Catholic voters voted in the 2020 election. Out of 30 million Catholics, that means there is potential of over 15 million additional Catholic votes who could vote this time around. The Pope, the cardinals, the bishops, the priests have made it clear that sitting by and not using our votes to help install godly politicians, we are part of the problems that exist in our world today. God has given us the power in this country to choose the direction of our government. We cannot allow the government to persecute our church, installing a religion of atheism, or a government which makes their ideology the only religion that is tolerable. So what should we take home with us today? To be a faithful follower of Christ, we must never lose sight of the two highest commandments: love God above all else and our neighbor as ourself. This means to make God's interpretation of his rules the only rules we follow. We should not accept and promote what we have been told by God is wrong. Lastly, we all need to speak up and vote for what we know is right, so we can live in a country where we honor the highest vocation, living in God's world as he intended.